भूतग्रामावमानिनः क्रियोत्पन्नया नखे नैव दृश्येऽर्चितोच्यायाम् भूतग्रामावमानिनः अहमुच्चावचेद्रव्ये क्रियोत्पन्नया नखे नैव दृश्येऽर्चितोच्याम् भूतग्रामावमानिनः अहमुच्चावचेद्रव्ये क्रियोत्पन्नया नखे नैव दृश्येऽर्चितोच्यायाम् भूतग्रामावमानिनः
Word to translation,
aham,
I, uccha avachehi,
with various,
javehi,
karsanilya,
kriyaya,
by
religious rituals,
utpanaya,
accomplished, anakhe,
O
sinless mother,
na,
no,
eva,
certainly,
Tushye,
and pleased,
Architaha,
worship,
Archayam,
in the deity form,
Bhudagrama,
to other living entities,
Avamaninaha,
with those who are disrespectful.
My dear mother, even if he worships, with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple. Purport by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai!
There are 64 different prescriptions for worship of the deity in the temple. There are many items offered to the deity, some valuable and some less valuable. It is prescribed in Bhagavad Gita. If a devotee offers me a small flower, a leaf, some water or a little fruit, I will accept it. The real purpose is to exhibit one's loving devotion to the Lord. The offerings themselves are secondary. If one has not developed loving devotion to the Lord and simply offers many kinds of foodstuffs, fruits and flowers without real devotion, the offerings will not be accepted by the Lord. We cannot bribe the personality of Godhead. He is so great that our bribery has no value, nor has he any scarcity. Since he is full in himself, what can we offer him? Everything is produced by him. We simply offer to show our love and gratitude to the Lord. The gratitude and love for God is exhibited by a pure devotee who knows that the Lord lives in every living entity. As such, temple worship necessarily includes distribution of prasad. It is not that one should create a temple in his private apartment or private room, offer something to the Lord and then eat. Of course, that is better than simply cooking foodstuffs and eating without understanding one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. People who act in this manner are just like animals. But the devotee who wants to elevate himself to the higher level of understanding must know that the Lord is present in every living entity. And as stated in the previous verse, one should be compassionate to other living entities. A devotee should worship the Supreme Lord, be friendly to a person who are on the same level, and be compassionate to the ignorant. One should exhibit his compassion for ignorant living entities by distributing prasad. Distribution of prasad to the ignorant masses of people is essential for persons who make offering to the personality of Godhead. Real love and devotion is accepted by the Lord. Many valuable foodstuffs may be presented to a person But if the person is not hungry, all such offerings are useless for him. Similarly, we may offer many valuable items to the deity, but if we have no real sense of devotion and no real sense of the Lord's presence everywhere, then we are lacking in devotional service. In such a state of ignorance, we cannot offer anything acceptable to the Lord.
Om Jnanati Vrantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurvamilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Prabhe Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Paramarthyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Prabhupadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Saprajatam Sahagranaranadhanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadadhutam Parichan Savitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagranarita Shri Vishakhanidamscha हे कृष्णा कन्हा सिंधु निरलम प्रभुदेवते गोपेशा गोपिकाधारे तत्पञ्चजन गोदामिनी कालेश्वरी वृषभानुदेवी नमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छकर्तृभ्यश्च जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु श्रीवासादिगोवृन्दा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा। This purport is so significant for all of us because we are directly engaged in worshipping the deity of the Lord. Right? Everyone is engaged in worshipping the deity of the Lord in this temple. In fact, all the activities that we perform in and around the temple is centered around Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, Govardhanai Jagannatha Sutta. Everything. So, they are the center for everything. They are the center for prasadam distribution. They are the center for book distribution. They are the center for Bhagavatam class. Everything is centered around the deity. So, in this verse, first we will try to understand what is the significance of the deity worship. The Lord expands Himself in different forms. First is called Para. Para means His transcendental form in the transcendental abode. So Krishna is present in the Goloka Vrindavan. However, since we have material senses, we don't have any access to the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan because we cannot see our own self. We heard many times we are the Atma, we are Sachidananda, we are spiritual self. However, we can't see. How can we see ourselves? We can see the body, we can experience the mind, but we can't see ourselves. Then how about the Supreme Lord? How can we see the Supreme Lord in His original para form? Then He expands as Vyuha. Vyuha means His quadruple expansions and further. So He has many expansions in the Vaikuntha planet. And then even further expands, some come to the material world for its creation, maintenance, etc. So the Lord has many expansions. Then He has His Leela expansions. So which is good, because the Leela expansion means the Lord comes to the material world and people with material eyes can see the Lord. That is the whole purpose of Leela. Leela itena bhuvanani jagati achasram. The whole purpose is the Lord wants to attract the conditioned souls by His superhuman pastimes. It is mentioned in Brahma Samhita. So the Lord appears as Leelavata, for example, Krishna. However,
We cannot see Krishna in this Leela form because we are not there. Krishna, how many times Krishna come in a day of Brahma? How many times? Just once. So what is the probability for us to see Krishna in this Leela avatar when he appears in this material world? Very remote, very difficult. Now for us, if we want to perceive the Lord with our conditioned senses, the only way is if the Lord accepts a form which is perceivable to the material senses. In other words, that form also has to be made of material elements, apparently. At the same time, it has to be empowered with all the potencies in such a way that the Lord's such forms acts in the same capacity as the para form. So that's the glory of the deity form of the Lord. Even though the form is made of material elements, they have all the potencies. That is the process of installation of the deity. As it is mentioned in Sri Shobhanishad purports, when an acharya invites the Supreme Lord to the deity, then the Supreme Lord himself agreed to be present in his full potency in the deity form. So we are fortunate, we have the deity form of the Lord. So they are visible to us even though they are beyond our senses out of compassion. So what brings the Supreme Lord in the deity form? It is out of causeless compassion of the Lord and his pure devotees. So that's why deity is there. Now, it is the beginning stage for one to worship the deity, thinking that I am a great devotee, I have a deity, and me and Krishna cannot recognize the rest of the devotees. So this is called a Kanishta, a neophyte mentality of a devotee. I go to the temple, I pay obeisances, I'll do some offering to the Lord, and I'll go home. Everything is centered around the deity, which is good. But he fails to recognize living entities and especially the devotees. So because of that, to make spiritual progress is difficult. Because without the association of the devotees, one cannot make spiritual progress. So that's where when one starts recognizing the devotees and when one starts taking association of the devotees, then one comes to the platform of Madhyama, or at least one move towards the Madhyama platform, or a secondary devotee, a second class devotee, an intermediate devotee, which is very much necessary for advancement. Because if one remains as a Kanishta, as a neophyte, one remains as a neophyte. So one just come to the temple, offer something to the Lord and go home. That's all. We can see that's the beginning. We can see we appreciate that. Many guests come here, right? What do they come? They come walking straight, right? They don't look left or right. They don't look at the devotees many times. They have something to offer. Go all the way up to Radha Vallabha. They place in front of them. They quickly pay obeisances, do all mudras, and then get out. Which is good. Which we appreciate and we do encourage. However, that is not a good platform to make spiritual advancement, even though it's the beginning. Why? Because it is mentioned, it's a very important point, that all the services, all it is applicable for us also very much, that all the services are nothing but the external manifestation of our internal feelings for Krishna. So all the services, our chanting, our services, everything is an external manifestation of our internal affection for Krishna. So, as far as we don't cultivate our connection to Krishna, it is very difficult to have an offering which is offered with some affection, with some love, which is the whole purpose of devotion service. So, devotion involves emotion. So, it's not just a standby, it's devotion, it has emotion. Because if there is connection to Krishna, if there is affection for Krishna, then there will be some emotion. And we need to take that emotions, which is not really material, and offer it to Krishna along with the paraphernalia we are offering to the Lord. That's why
In Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned, for what called this verse, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yeme Bhaktiya Tadaham Bhakti Vadhulam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. There are two points we have to consider. One is Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. All that Krishna asks are very simple. Here also it's mentioned. Some can be valuable and some can be less valuable. Patram, a leaf. How valuable it is? No, it is not very much valuable. And if it is Tulsi, and why Krishna, in that verse Krishna speaks, I want Patram first. Patram means a leaf. Which leaf Krishna is referring to?
Tulsi.
So that's why Patram is so important. Pushpam, probably flower. Flower is not expensive, but if you go to Melbourne market, maybe it's expensive. But generally, to get one flower, it's not so expensive. One can grab a flower and offer to the Lord. And Phalam, a fruit. Now, even fruit is also difficult to get, something which is organic, which is not injected with chemicals. But okay, at least we can get some fruit and we can offer it to Krishna. And Toya, water at least. Even water also get it, boy. So, now everything is getting expensive. Still, it is saying that it's the universality of bhakti causes that one can at least offer something to Krishna. It's not difficult, right? Then, here is the external aspect, that is Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, which can be expanded into anything which we can offer to Krishna. It can be big projects, it can be big temples, it can be valuable jewels, it can be anything that we can offer to Krishna. They are the external manifestation of the internal consciousness, which is mentioned twice in this verse, that is Bhakti Upahrudam. If Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse, because the internal aspect is more significant than the external. So that is mentioned in this purport. We need to offer with some bhakti, with some devotion. And that's why there are 64 angas, 64 prescriptions in bhakti given in Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So there are 64 items or 64 offerings that we can make to Krishna, starting from taking shelter of a spiritual master. So there are different offerings to Krishna. They are all part of worshipping the deity form of the Lord. There are prescriptions. But everything has to be done with this internal consciousness. That's why Krishna is known as Bhavagrahi Janardana. We know the pastime of offerings of Duryodhan and Vidura. We know this pastime, right? Duryodhan wanted to invite Krishna. He invited Krishna. He had everything, right? He had all different kinds of preparations, like all different cuisines. Like if you go to now the recent marriages in India, not devotees, but you know, karmi marriages, they have international cuisine available. You know, there is Chinese, there is Italian, there is continental, Mediterranean, Indian, you know, you name it, everything is available. You can choose.
Different stores.
Different stores. Prabhupada's experience looks like. Different stores. So you can go, get variety of foodstuffs. You can choose what you want, how you want to dine. Right? In the same way, in a Vedic way, in a proper Vedic way, Duryodhan organized everything. There was a lot of foodstuffs for Krishna. There were dancing girls to entertain Krishna. There was a beautiful palace. There was a beautiful place to sit. Duryodhan arranged everything. But Krishna chose not to go. Why? Because he couldn't see any devotion. So if there is no devotion, Krishna thought, why should I go? Am I lacking in anything? Lakshmi sahasra chata sambrama sevyamanam. Now I have unlimited Lakshmi serving me. You know, Chintamani, you know, he said, Chintamani Pragrasa Karta Vriksha. Everything is made of Chintamani, means desire fulfilling stones. So Krishna doesn't need anything really. So he chose not to go. Rather, he chose to go to Vidura's house. And was Vidura present in his house when he went there?
No.
Vidura was not there. Rather, his wife was there. And when Vidura's wife saw Krishna, she was completely... She went into excess. She panicked. Because Vidura is not, my husband is not there. And how can I serve Krishna? He panicked. He actually lost control to some degree. It is mentioned, if someone sees Krishna, Krishna himself is an impetus
for pure devotion. Krishna, the form of Krishna itself is an impetus, Uddipan, for pure devotion. So it is mentioned in case of Gop Kumar, when he went to the spiritual abode, to Golok Vrindavan, in the Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita, we can see his sequential journey, we can say hierarchical journey, going from one planet to the next, even through material worlds and through spiritual worlds. Ultimately, when he gets to Golok Vrindavan and he is meeting his Lord, Madan Gopal, for the first time after millions of lifetimes. So when he sees Krishna, what happens to him? He cannot do anything, he faints. This is the problem. If you go to Golok Vrindavan first time and you go and see Krishna, what happens? We cannot be in the first sight, we faint. So this is what happened to Gopakumar. He fainted. He fell down on the ground. Then Krishna has to, everyone started chanting. Krishna came, all his devotees came. They woke him up, come to consciousness. And actually Gopakumar was related to Krishna through Radharani. So Gopakumar's eternal relationship with Krishna was through Radharani, because he belonged to quite a close relative of Srimati Radharani. So this is how the eternal relation was evoked at a particular time, you know. So the same thing happened to Vidura's wife in the material world. So Krishna, she has seen Krishna for sure, but now Krishna has come to her house. Just like, suppose we are in our, say for example, in Brahmacharya Ashram, one time it happened. I was just lying down in my room, the Brahmacharya Ashram. Suddenly, I heard voice of Devamrita Maharaj just outside the door. So I was a bit perplexed, you know, I just got out, you know, I just jumped up and opened the door. What happened? So he went inside the room and he started looking here and there. And I had a book, he was, are we reading this? We hear something. You know, we completely, you know, change our consciousness. We become alert. So in the same way, Vidura's wife, she became very alert and wanted to serve, but she couldn't find proper footsteps. She found some banana. She took the banana and she said, okay, I'm going to offer you banana. Krishna, sit down. She took the banana, but she wasn't so ecstatic that she forgot what to offer. So she peeled the banana and threw the banana into the bin and offered banana peel. Then Krishna ate. Krishna also was in ecstasy. So here is the point. It's not just that the devotee is in ecstasy, but Krishna is also in ecstasy. Both. It's a mutual thing. It's not ecstasy, it's not reserved to us, or being unconscious or forgetting everything is not just connected to the living entities. Krishna can also forget everything, even though he's all knowing, because of covering of yoga maya. So Krishna also forgot everything and he started eating the banana. After some time, Vidura came and he saw. What happened? What are you doing? Then she also came into consciousness. Krishna also came into consciousness. They understood. Oh, this is what was going on. And Vidura became so happy. She was saying, you are so lucky. Because you were able to directly feed Krishna. And Krishna did accept your offering. So this is called bhakti. This is bhakti upakritam ashnami. So Krishna is not just patram pushpam phalam toyam, but even a
banana leaf.
That is also Krishna is ready to eat. So this is bhakti upakritam. So this is how Krishna is actually focused on bhakti. What is our intention? Krishna is focused on that. Krishna wants to see that. Of course, if he has a little bit of inclination, if he has a little bit of faith, Krishna accepts out of his kindness. So that we can make some progress. But Krishna is merciful. He accepts. Now here again, going back to mentality of a neophyte, which is described in the previous verses and in this verse, that a neophyte, he cannot really recognize a devotee nor other living entities, and cannot see the presence of the Lord in the heart of different living entities, which is very important. Because why this passage, why this description is there, if we consider the progressive stages of devotion,
we are meant to move from neophyte stage to intermediate stage and further. So it is mentioned, one can be in the Kanishtha platform, and from there one has to take steps to Madhyama platform. So being in a Madhyama platform is considered glorious. So a Madhyama devotee is known as Madhyama Bhagavat. We can say Uttama Bhagavat. Similarly, a Madhyama devotee is known as Madhyama Bhagavat because he is connected to Krishna. He understands very clearly who is the object of love. This is a very important point, very critical point, because as one enters into Madhyama platform, even though we have multiple relationships in this world, one can have spouse, one can have friends, one can have many other things, one can have many, many things in this world, but still one understands very clearly that the object of love is Krishna. He starts to recognize that if there are many people who are attractive, and we can see attractive nature in this world in many people, many objects, but Krishna's attraction is much more than anything else. So a Madhyama devotee starts to recognize the attractive features of Krishna. Naturally, one starts to see Krishna is so attractive. So if he's put all the beauty together in this world, still it will not come any close to Krishna's beauty. If he put all the affection and love of this world, it's not really love, lust, but if he put everything together, still it will not come any close to Krishna's affection and love. Just like in the pastime of Dhruvaraj. Dhruvaraj's mother told Dhruvaraj. Srila Prabhupada also says that a mother's love is closest to love for God. Just to give an understanding, closest to, because there is not much of an expectation from the child. So Dhruvaraj's mother told that, Suniti told that, you consider the love of millions of mothers. If you put the love of millions of mothers together, but Krishna's love is even more than that. So this is Krishna. So a Madhyama devotee slowly tries to understand that the loving object is Krishna. So for a Madhyama devotee, slowly the activities that we perform in Krishna consciousness, we try to see Krishna in our activities. We try to see Krishna in our chanting. In the beginning stages, chanting is chanting, Krishna is Krishna. Service is service, Krishna is Krishna. We do separate the object of worship and the worship in itself. Whether they are actually connected together, they are one and the same. So when actually one comes to the platform of Madhyama, one tries to see, we tend to see Krishna. When we chant Krishna, we are reminded of Krishna. When we are serving Krishna, we are reminded of Krishna. So this is very important. When we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reminded of Krishna. And we feel Krishna. So this is the stage of Madhyama. One is actually recognizing the personality of God. He becomes part of our life, and so he becomes our object of love. Second, he can recognize who is envious and who is innocent. Because one has to avoid the envious. Because if you try to preach, if you try to give some mercy to such people, they become more inimical. They can become more violent. So we don't try to preach to such people. But at the same time, a Madhyama can actually give compassion, mercy, which belongs to Krishna, to a person who is not envious, who is innocent. So this is again a quality of a Madhyama. One tend to preach because one understands the glory of the Lord. Then one can see very clearly who is suffering and who is innocent. So we can see material world, everyone is suffering. So an innocent person, one tend to help. This is coming to the Madhyama platform. A neophyte has no interest in preaching as such. So as the Uttama, when he stays in the Uttama platform, not much interest in preaching, he is in bhajan. However, a Madhyama, it's the job of a Madhyama to preach. And it is said that an Uttama Adhikari, an Uttama devotee can entrust and empower a Madhyama to preach. If an Uttama, if he is not preaching, he can empower a Madhyama to preach.
So he can preach on behalf of an Uttama. That is possible. Then the Madhyama can make friends with the devotees. Because fraternity is very important in the growth of bhakti. Because otherwise, if you don't have loving relationship with the devotees, then we have to find that in the outside world. So a devotee, and you make friends with the devotees, and in that way we exchange values and we grow in devotional service by exchanging values and inspiring each other. So to come to the stage of a Madhyama is so significant, and that's why a stage before is mentioned here, which is kind of a neophyte. That is just me and Krishna. So if we are even we are expected to be at least on the platform of Madhyama, and still if we think devotees as a botheration, and if we think me and Krishna, then we have to understand that the neophyte tendency is creeping into our consciousness. So we had to be quite careful how we deal with our consciousness. We had to see what kind of tendency is coming into our mind, because the mind is reflection of the consciousness. And part of the deity worship, as it's mentioned here, is Prabhupada emphasizes on prasad. Looks like it is very significant to this temple because we have an emphasis on prasad distribution, and especially having the new kitchen. The new kitchen project is coming to an end, so we can see so much of an emphasis on prasad. So Prabhupada says, it's alright at home, offer the foodstuff to Krishna and eat. It's okay. It is better than not doing that. However, better is offer to the deities and distribute. So this is applicable equally at home and in the temple. So devotees offer foodstuff to the deity or picture at home and distribute to different devotees, distribute to different people. Some people take it as an opportunity to preach, which is very good. Make some cookies, make some prasadam, distribute at work, to neighbors, to friends. So in that way, we develop a very favorable circumstance in which a little bit of faith is developed, where we can give something which is higher. So prasadam distribution can bring a favorable ground for further preaching. So prasadam distribution is not the end. We shouldn't see it as the end. It's actually the means through which we can give something which is higher. We can give some knowledge. Because if people are favorable, then they can understand something higher about Krishna, and then they can start chanting. Because the process of purification ultimately in this age is chanting. So one has to come to the point of chanting. And to come to the point of chanting, some instructions are required. And to sustain chanting, one need more knowledge. Because without knowledge, if one chants, that usually is namaparat. It'll be offensive chanting. If one wants to go further from namaparat to namapas, one needs some knowledge. And from namapas further to shuddhanam, one needs some knowledge. So prasadam can act as a medium to create a favorable circumstance in the society, and that we can see, right? It's a big preaching to create a favorable impression in people. If you go to caterings, say for example, if you go to a big catering, maybe 10 or 15 or 20,000 people are coming, some people say, we are waiting for this kofta board. I am waiting from last year, I am waiting for this kofta board. Really, kofta board is so simple if you think about it. It's nothing, what is there in kofta board? What is there in kofta board? Actually, a little bit of flour, a little bit of vegetable and oil, deep fried, and some spicing. Actually, that's all kofta board. But people are waiting for years for kofta board. People are saying, I'm just waiting for that. What is that, just the kofta board? Or the bhakti. So they are actually tasting bhakti. So they are ready to wait. They come next year also. They come the year after also. Then, if you give a book, they will take a book, right? So nowadays in caterings, how many books have been distributed? Hundreds. Last catering, how many books were distributed? Maybe 200? 200 plus books were distributed. Because prasadam. Prasadam is first catching, and then? Then okay, yeah, must be good. Okay, take a book. So many small books were distributed in catering. Hundreds of small books were distributed in catering. So it is very powerful. Prasadam is very powerful. However, we shouldn't stop at there. We can go to the next level. In fact, one person thought about cauliflower pakora. Cauliflower pakora. He said he ate cauliflower pakora some 20 years back with the tamarind chutney. He said, I can still remember that taste. Which is very good, right? It is very good. Because he is making progress by glorifying prasad. That is powerful. So in this way, we can actually give this mercy. Today, for example, today we are actually trying to go out and distribute books. We are inviting all people who want to learn book distribution and also who already knows book distribution. We are going to city and we are going to do some book distribution. So we can again meet people who are quite favorable. Definitely there will be people who are favorable because people know us. They know us for prasadam at least. So they know us. So if you go for books, people do take books. So today we go to the city, maybe 10 o'clock leaving from here, then 11 o'clock, you know, for a couple of hours, distribute books on Swanson Street and around. So then we can see actually what happens. People do appreciate us, people do take books. So this is going to the next level. So we are giving prasadam, and along with prasadam we are giving some literature which are glorifying Krishna. In that way, we can give an opportunity for everyone to come to Krishna consciousness. What we have, the opportunity what we have in serving Krishna, what we are actually experiencing. This is one thing, after coming to Krishna consciousness for a few years and practicing, chanting for a few years, we actually forget what is real suffering in this world. Is that right? We actually forget what is it like to suffer in the material world. It's a reality. So then, when we forget that, we tend to forget the suffering of others also. However, when we go out and when we speak to people, then we get the realization directly that people are actually suffering due to many reasons. And we need to extend this opportunity so that they can come a step closer to Krishna. We are taking our humble steps. That's enough, at least. It will help us to purify them as well as us. So this is a benefit we have where we can help others and simultaneously get helped. So that is preaching. And finally, we have to, even though we are practicing devotees, the point mentioned in this verse, we have to really take into our heart, that is the mood in which we are serving the Lord. How we are actually performing the devotional service. What is the consciousness by which we are serving the Lord? It is very important. If somebody is really desiring not to serve the Lord, and if you are doing it grudgingly, or if one has a desire to get out from here, then Krishna may fulfill such kind of desires. If completely one is really, really desiring that I really don't want to do this service, and Krishna, you have just someone forcing me to do this. I want to really get out from this. If he develops such kind of a mentality, Krishna may fulfill such desire. We have to be careful. I actually heard from a devotee who was a Brahmana who worshipped for a few years in this temple. And while performing the arati, you know, he was Brahmana, he was doing arati, he was doing other deity worship as well. Then he left the temple. He left. Many years later, one devotee asked, what happened, how did you leave, you know, what happened to you, how was your service, you know, he was just asking. Then this devotee who was practicing previously, he said, when he was performing arati and when he was in front of the deity, he was thinking like this, I really don't want to do the service. Mm-hmm. I really want to get out from here. And then Krishna fulfilled such desire. Mm-hmm. Krishna gives that free will. If someone actually desires that I don't want to be here, then Krishna has to allow. They have to leave. It's very unfortunate. Okay, we may not go to that extreme, but our aim is to develop loving, affectionate relationship with Krishna, with the holy name. Since we have that objective in front of us, then we have to check our consciousness and we are serving. Because only through that we can see a difference in our chanting, in our attitude, in our consciousness, in controlling the mind. So when we try to develop that attitude, then we can see a transformation. As Krishna is ready to accept anything. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhrutasya pachati guruna vinavaradhan. Krishna, even if someone performs really a great sin, great offense against him, still he thinks Bhrutasya pachati guruna vinavaradhan. Guru means most heavy offense. Still na aparadhan. He thinks, oh, it's alright. I don't consider it as an offense. Seva manapavikrita bhudapyubhaiti. If someone performs a little bit of seva, a little bit of service, what he thinks? He thinks, oh, he has done a lot of service. Actually, who can do enough service to Krishna? It's not possible. But whatever little bit we do, Krishna thinks he has done so much of service. Avishkaroti Krishneshavi Nathasuya. Even to an envious person, he is not envious of. He thinks it's alright. Because we are actually envious to other living entities. We are envious to Krishna and we are envious to other living entities, as it is mentioned in this purport and in this verse. Still, Krishna considers it's alright. He accepts still the service. Then, Shilena Dhammalavati Purushottamoyam. Such are his wonderful qualities. So, Krishna has all good qualities. That's why we are able to serve him, and that's why he is accepting our service. So, if we go a step further, we can always improve our consciousness. Then see how Krishna reciprocates. As we take one step towards Krishna, Krishna is happy to take 10 steps towards us. So Krishna is ready to reciprocate and he wants to reciprocate and he is looking at our consciousness. Where this devotee is going to think, I want to develop attraction for Krishna. I want to give up all attraction for Maya. I want to go closer to Krishna. I want to serve you with a bit more love. Krishna is looking for that opportunity to serve that devotee. So if we cultivate that mentality, then we can see a transformation by the mercy of the Lord. So this verse is applicable for all, even for us very much. And we can move in the progressive path of bhakti. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, sir.
So you mentioned the pastime of when Krishna is a banana peel and he was also in ecstasy, he was experiencing the ecstasy. Would you say that because Mahaprabhu's appearance, we understand, is one of the reasons was that he wanted to experience the ecstasy that devotees are experiencing?
The question is when Vidura's wife offered the banana peel, Krishna experienced ecstasy. So why did Mahaprabhu came to experience the ecstasy? So the point is, it's not that Krishna doesn't have any ecstasy at all. So there is a reason why Mahaprabhu came. It's not that Krishna doesn't have any ecstasy in the spiritual world. He's morose now. No, he's always ecstatic. His name is Sukha Sindhu. Prandani Chedi Sukha Sindhu Aho Vibhuti. Krishna is Sukha Sindhu, means it's an ocean of bliss. Sukha means happiness, bliss. Sindhu means an ocean. Krishna's name is Sukha Sindhu. However, there is one person who is apparently more ecstatic than Krishna. Who is that? Srimati Radharani. Because there is an eternal competition going on between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is serving Krishna and Krishna is becoming more ecstatic. And seeing the ecstasy of Krishna, Srimati Radharani is becoming even more ecstatic. Seeing that, Krishna is becoming even more ecstatic. So there is a transcendental competition of ecstasy is going on in this spiritual world. However, Krishna could see that Srimati Radharani is experiencing more ecstasy because it's just like a reflection multiplied millions of times. So in the qualities of Srimati Radharani, Krishna's love is reflected unlimited times, and in that way Srimati Radharani is experiencing unlimited ecstasy. Then Krishna started thinking, how can I experience that ecstasy? And for that Radha Bhava, Duti Suvaditam Navami Krishna Swarupam. Then he had to accept Radha Bhava, the complexion of Srimati Radharani. And Krishna appeared as Mahaprabhu, even though that form is eternal, is always present. So as Radha Krishna, Pranaya Vikruti, Bhavini Shakirasma, Ekatma Ravavi, Bhuvipula, Deha Bhedam Gatavta. They are actually one. Radha and Krishna are eternally one. However, for the pastime's sake, they manifest separately as Radha and Krishna. And now, they have become one again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is a difference in the ecstasy that is experienced by Vidura's wife and what experienced by Krishna, and that which is offered by Srimati Radharani and that which is experienced by Krishna.
And the good person is Sudama, Sudama Pastime. Very extreme. देख सुदामा की दिनदशा करुणा करके करुणा ने ध्रुवे पानी पड़ा कुछ नहीं और नैनन के बल से कृष्णा वाज सो एक्साइटेड दैट विद हिज टीयर्स ही वॉश्ड द फीट ऑफ सुदामा.
हरे कृष्ण. Yeah, I can elaborate. Suddenly a quote from Kalapakanda Maharaj comes to my mind. He says, deity worship in the temple is centered around Krishna, his convenience. Deity worship at home is centered around our convenience. That's the difference between deity worship at home and in the temple. So what happens at home? Okay, we want to go to work today early in the morning, 6 o'clock starting. So we have to offer deity some bhoga, maybe 5:30 in the morning. Tomorrow I have to go work at 9 o'clock, so maybe I will offer at 7:30. So who is the center in one sense? It is our convenience. Yes, it is centered around Krishna, but our convenience is taken into account. Whereas for Krishna here, Radha Vallabha, whatever happens we have to offer at the same time, because that is the sankalpa, that is the standard we have set, so we need to follow, we cannot change that. And here actually the punctuality is quite strict, we had to offer the same second practically, in a maybe maximum a few seconds, not even a minute, we cannot change in the time, so that is punctuality. So that's the difference between the daily worship standard in the temple and at home. Then what happens? So there is a difference in reciprocation. When we are worshipping the deity with such care, such affection, with such cleanliness, with such punctuality, then the Lord reciprocates equally. So the temple deities, they reciprocate more. Why? Because we are offering him more, with more affection. We are caring them more. So in that way. So that is the difference. Is that the point, or do you want to know something more? Yeah, so that's a very, very good point. That is, you know, the deity worship at home and temple, because we are worshipping deities in the temple. So here, the point is, Srila Prabhupada emphasized a very important point that grihasthas can have deities at home, preferably Gaur-Nitai. General recommendation is Gaur-Nitai. And very, very rarely Radha Krishna. It's possible, but not very often, because the standard of worship of Radha and Krishna are very high. So one, there is a tendency to commit mistakes, so, and offenses to the deities, which can, if one continues that for a long time, it affects one chanting. One cannot develop taste for chanting. One can see it as an impediment. Seva Radha, for a long time, even though minor, for a long time affects one chanting. So one has to be careful. Now, the main point is, since we have the temple deities, the center has to be temple deities. Whether one has home deities or not, that's not the center. That center has to be the temple deities. There's no doubt about it. So in other words, if somebody is Brahmin initiated, one cannot focus all his or her energy in home deity worship, especially if in a reachable distance from the temple. You know, in any of the suburbs which is nearby, one cannot neglect temple deity worship and just take up home deity worship. If one can handle both, it's okay, but one shouldn't be negligent of temple deity worship. It is very important, and Srila Prabhupada has emphasized that. So I remember many of the gurus, when they give instruction to the disciples to worship deities, they say, yes, whether you worship deity at home or not, you must worship the temple deities. So everything is aspect of deity worship in the temple. So we can consider it as temple worship has to be temple worship, and associated services has to be taken seriously. And especially if one is a Brahmin initiated devotee, then one has to directly get engaged in the deity worship or cooking, etc. Direct services to the deities one has to be. So it's actually mandatory. There's no choice. If we say I need a deity to I need Brahmin initiation to just do home deity worship, it's not required. So if one is taking Brahmin initiation, then one has to be committed to the temple deity worship.
On that point, Srila Prabhupada said, when he installed the Radha Gopinath in Sydney, he said, I am giving the duties of Brahmachars.
And train them. And the lady is trained.
Yeah. High standard of Prabhupada. You can see.
Need final question? Yes, ma'am.
Friend of the temple first.
Yeah. Find the Lord's time. Because he's coming and they say, "Oh, we're having daily welcome on Monday." Mm. You know, it's Friday, and can you help us? We don't know what to do. We don't know how to dress. You know, So it's very important that the Lord is to train up how to do things at the temple first. Then, yeah. I have seen deities at home, which are unclean, and there's no proper offering plates for the Lord, or everything is a mess. All the paraphernalia around the deities, everything is a mess. So this is a very, as you're saying, it's a very clear indication they haven't done sufficient service to understand what is deity worship. So, because we can commit that deity is enough to commit offense. They can reciprocate, they give us a mercy, the home deity also gives the mercy. At the same time, if you treat in such a way, it's a seva para, it's equally applicable. So again, it affects our chanting and further devotional service. So rather than making progress by deity worship, one can actually go down in the path of devotion. So it is so unfortunate. So if one has to be quite careful. Yes.
That's up to him.
Yes.
We shouldn't be attached to results of that service.
Yes.
So it's been somehow well Krishna being a small organization, and especially my spiritual master being a small organization, that actually understanding this point that all Krishna wants is their life is the way to understand that you can offer things and be detached.
Mm.
That's the way to be detached, because what does Krishna need from us anyway? Like you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Krishna has everything. So if we understand that all Krishna wants is their love, then even if we want to do a service, just by wanting to do the service and desiring to do that service, and with a loving emotion wanting to do the service, actually Krishna has already accepted the offering of his service. So it allows us to be detached by understanding that all he wants is our love. So in that way, you know, we can say, well, whether Krishna wants me to do the service or he doesn't want me to do the service, that's totally up to him. But I understand that all he wants is my love, so I understand that just by desiring to do the service, he has actually already accepted it.
Thank you. Next verse is performing the duties for Krishna. That's the next verse that you're saying. That's good. It's a good forward reference as well.
It just makes, once you understand that,
it makes it so much easier to deal with things and situations, because you know, we're in a material body and we're in a material conditioning and things like that, so everything we do tends to be in a mood of material expectations. You know, I see it this way, and I expect this to turn out that way, and I expect this to happen, and I expect that person to behave like this, and like that. But once we understand this point, that all we can ever do is offer love, then all these expectations tend to drop away. So then, you know, relationships become easier, service becomes easier. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, so today a few of us are going for book distribution. So if anyone wants to join us, more than welcome. You don't need any prerequisites, like you don't need to have distributed any books before. Come by 10 o'clock, we are leaving here, or you can get to process by between 10:45 and 11 o'clock. Yeah. Thank you very much. Gracias, Srimad Bhagavatam.